This is an opportunity to hear another voice and get another perspective, which I enjoy. For those of you who don't know, this is Byron Easterling. Byron has a very interesting ministry. He's going to talk to you about some of the things that he does, but I've known him for a number of years now. We've had the privilege to travel together and do some ministry together, and it's really fun to have friends in the kingdom. It genuinely is. That's a gift from the Lord. So I'm just going to pray. Lord, thank you for the opportunity for us to be here today. We've never shared this day together before. I mean, the reality is you are always who you are, but we aren't always in the same position. And so, Father, I would ask in the name of Jesus today that you would invade our space with the mindset of heaven. Speak to us, Lord, so we can walk away different. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to say one other thing. I meant to say this earlier, but I think this fits. We were talking about we will not be shaken. And I kept seeing a snow globe. I know if you ever pick up a snow globe, you know what it looks like? It looks like what it's going to look like again when you set it down. So it's shaken, but never shook. Hello? It's shaken, but it's never shook. It returns itself to the condition it was in before the shaking took place. And that's what he's like. So,
cool. Good morning, all. Now, there was a season in my life when I was invited to a number of, I'll just say black churches, African American, whatever you choose to speak. And we would often have what they call preach-offs. Anybody here ever preach-off before? This is about as close as you get in a white church to a preach-off. John gave his word, James gave his word, and now you get me. If we keep going, there will be several rounds. I love those days. That was in St. Louis, and several of us were invited to come down and just hang out with these brothers. It was awesome time. It was an awesome time in the Lord. And I loved it, but I was sitting over there just thinking, this is about as close as a white church gets to that. And that's just perfectly fine. I have a couple things I just want to say real quick. First of all, I want to thank you. If you are an intercessor, if you meet on Wednesday or Saturday, I want to thank you. Because you have been a part of, just as James, you have been a part of my wife and I, our lives, our ministry. And I just thank you very much. It's greatly appreciated, greatly respected, and greatly honored. So thank you very much. We are so glad for that. Don't stop. You actually feel it. I don't know if you experience that, but in prayer, when others are praying for you, I feel it. I know it. I know when I'm traveling and I'm out there, I feel it. It's like something's going on, and I know it, and I know people are back there praying for us. So my wife and I are from a town called Camarillo, California. It's just on the coast. Who did that? Oh yeah, that's right. That's right. Got some California people. We keep moving. We are originally from Northern California. We started out in Northern California, and then we moved to the central coast of California in Santa Barbara, and then God moved us to Camarillo a year ago. And that's also on the coast. This, what was it, Mike? 3 weeks ago? Was it 3 weeks? Mike and I, Mike joined me on a trip down to Nicaragua. We have a widow's project there. I'm not going to show you that this morning, but Mike came down with me. We had an awesome time. We have a widow's project there that renovates. We started it a year and a half ago. We finished our first home in March of 18. 18, that was last year, right? March of 18. And then a rebellion started. There's a lot of issues in Central America. Some of you may know that. And in Nicaragua, there were a number of issues. And there was an uprising amongst students. to actually help the elderly. And there were about, in about a month and a half, there were probably about approximately 500 to 600 deaths. That's still occurring, but it's safe to go down. So we couldn't even get supplies to build homes. But as soon as we could, we got in as quickly as we could, and Mike went with me. We had a great trip. Mine was probably a little better than yours, Mike. but you got to see some of the things that we get to do. And he has the best idea. God gave him a really cool strategy called Find Nine. And if you ever want to hear about Find Nine, talk to Mike. And if that's okay. But it's we build a house for, we either renovate. We call it renovating because the widows can't... Well, I won't go into this story, but the bottom line is we basically tear down their old house and build a new one on the spot they're in, but we can't move them out of there, and there are several reasons for that. But it costs about 10 grand from start to finish to build them a house. So Mike had this idea from the Lord. He says, I'll put a grand in, and I'll find 9 guys to put a grand in. So find 9. And I think this is a very viral way for us to start building more homes for widows. These widows are, we find them through the pastors there. And there's some really need. Anyway, I'm going to stop there. I don't need to go any further into that. We've heard a lot this morning. Got to open my phone. I do appreciate the phone. If people say they don't appreciate their phones, I love it. That's all I have to carry with me anymore. I love that. I don't have big books to carry. It's fantastic. And it was really funny. Last night, I started praying, and I'm going, Lord, what do you have for these guys this morning? I just want to hit on some heart issues. And he said, I want you to pull up a bunch of memes. Really? This is meme morning? He said, yeah, I want you to pull up a bunch of memes. So all of these memes, except I believe for one, are memes that I have put up on Facebook, Instagram, or just have sitting somewhere. I think there's only one that isn't, and one that's kind of common. But I wanted to read you these. Because I felt like we live in a meme society. I have a friend, and she doesn't do any social media, none. And somebody gave her a game that said memes. And she says, what's a meme? It was hard to imagine somebody not knowing what a meme is in this day and age. I believe, unfortunately, that our humorists are lost in the world of memes. I miss humorists. Do you know what a humorist is? Will Rogers was a humorist. Dave Barry, present day, is a humorist. There's a number of humorists out there. They're incredible, but memes have taken over the world and conquered and taken out our humorists, and I miss those. These are not humorous, they're just quotes. But they're from my heart. And here's one that I remember and pulled off because it was so wonderful to be in the midst of Missouri, because I grew up in Missouri. If you want to experience real, sit outside in a Midwest lightning storm. Everyone sees life slightly different. It just depends on what color glasses you're wearing at the moment. To have knowledge of God's pleasure in your life is to live out the dream He has created in you. If you can help someone succeed, that's a very cool thing. I love a win-win situation. Most Christians want to live a Midwest valued lifestyle, but keep the cable. The opposite of poverty is not wealth. I want you to hear this one. The opposite of poverty is not wealth, but generosity. When the body of Christ fully gets this one, we will take over the world. When we stop seeking wealth out of poverty and start seeking generosity, it will flatten our society, because they will be amazed by what we can do. In our attempt to remove a burden, we also remove the fullness of its gift. This one's not mine, but I personally really like it. I found if you tuck one part of your pant legs into your sock, people expect less of you. There's nothing quite like seeing the American flag waving against the morning sun. Everybody roots for their favorite team. That's loyalty. Love is knowing the truth about someone and loving them more. In general, people are kind. And the ones that aren't are worth fighting for. If religion is the opiate of the masses, then Jesus is the stimulant of man. Let me say that again. It was some philosopher, I can't remember who it was, but some philosopher stated that religion is the opiate of the masses. Basically, it's the mind-numbing of the masses. If religion is the opiate of the masses, then Jesus is the stimulant of man. He's the awakening. I grew up believing in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Bible. Somewhere along the line, I started believing in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and it made a whole lot of difference in my life. I actually like this one. Someone left the door open and common sense got out. If you find it, go ahead and spread it around. Here's an oldie but goodie. Christianity is a religion. Jesus is a relationship. That's why we're here. We're not here for Christianity, are we? No, we don't worship like that, guys. We don't worship like that for Christianity. We worship like that for Jesus. I mean, I'm not going to worship God. I'm not going to worship for a set of value, a set of a system. I'm not going to worship for a religion called Christianity. I'm going to worship for a God that loves me, and that I love Him. That's what it's all about. I had this question I need to ask you real quick. How many of you, before or even after you came to the Lord, used to party? Come on. Used to party. Did anybody ever dance when you went partying? Come on. How come nobody's up here dancing? I couldn't keep my feet going. I couldn't keep my feet from going. It was like, come on, somebody's got to dance in this place. I was like, what is with it? I mean, come on, guys. You got to sanctify what it means to party. Just sanctify it. It doesn't mean party is wrong. We just got to sanctify it. We got to bring it to light. We should be partying like it's 1999. Come on. God has His hand on the spigot, ready to pour out more. That love is going to touch lives. God is laying a blanket of goodness over obligation, smothering its wearisome stranglehold. Let me say that again. God is laying a blanket of goodness over obligation, Obligation is not a bad thing in its right place, but it shouldn't drive us. Smothering its wearisome stranglehold. And my last one that I'll bring, my little memes for the day. Divine appointments lead to transforming, life-changing hope. Which brings me to one point I want to make today. Let me just say that one more time. Divine appointments lead to transforming, life-changing hope. In 1913, William Seymour of Azusa Street prophesied that in 100 years there would be an outpouring of the Spirit of God. And there would be a greater outpouring than Azusa Street. Since that time, men and women have prophesied, spoken about, and had visions of 1 billion people meeting, encountering, and responding to Jesus Christ. Maria Woodworth Eder, Dr. Bill Bright, Dr. Billy Graham, not just charismatics, folks. Rudy Giuliani. Anybody know that name? Rudy Giuliani was a former mayor of New York City, has spoken about 1 billion souls coming to Christ, and is a part of an organization of pastors and leaders and churches around the world praying in. Lou Engle, ever heard that name? Bob Jones, it's a pretty common name in this area. Yeah. All through these last 100 years, people, what year is it? It's 2019. What year did he prophesy? 2013. I think we've hit it. And God gave me a vision of this giant valley between two mountains. Giant valley. And in that valley were 1 billion people. And around the outside edge was this yellow chalk line. It was like, I don't know why yellow. I need to ask that question, because most chalk lines are white. But this was a yellow chalk line around the entire. And it was a big, big, huge oval. And all the, and just believers from everywhere were stationed on that chalk line. It was the coolest thing. And we were all facing in. And I said, Lord, when do we get to go in? When do we get to go in and start really connecting with those 1 billion people that need Jesus Christ? And he said, look down. And I looked down, and all of our toes were just over the line. And I said, we're in. And he said, every time a believer wakes up to the knowledge that it's already here, it's time to step in. Yeah. Yeah. When you are awakened to the fact by the Holy Spirit that this 1 billion soul, they call it 1 billion soul harvest. I don't care for the word harvest anymore. That's an older term, but it still works in our congregations. But 1 billion people. I've changed it to say 1 billion. It's quick saying 1 billion soul harvest, but if you go out there and say, hey, you're part of the 1 billion soul harvest. Well, okay, Soylent and Green. I don't. A little scary there. Get the cauldron out and start cooking people. It's just weird to me. So I just, you know, it's 1 billion people meeting, encountering, and responding to Jesus Christ. That's what I did. I met him, I encountered him, and I responded to him. When the Lord showed me that our toes, I looked down, and then I looked down, left and right, and I'm going, hey, all our toes are across the line. And he said, it was like the line went away, and I was inside the circle. And he said, now you get, just go connect. And he said, because there has been prophesied big stadiums, massive stadiums that would be filled. But I don't believe that's for evangelism, folks. I believe that we're it. I believe this is a face-to-face, one-to-one encounter with individuals. And here, get this, tag, you're it. Tag, you're it. We're his army. We're no longer to sit in the pew and be entertained. It won't work anymore because nobody's coming inside the church all by themselves. We're past that day, folks. We're beyond it. I know we don't like hearing it, but the reality is we are no longer a Christian society. I hate to tell you that. I know we don't like hearing it as Christians, and we don't always want to believe it. And so we get upset with our country because the politicians and the leaders of our nation aren't acting like Christians. Well, hello? They aren't. How do you expect them to act like Christians when they weren't raised as Christians? They don't have our value system. They don't understand the principles of God. They don't know God. How can we possibly get upset with them? Don't get upset with them. Go out and find somebody and lead them to Christ. How do you do that? Be you. Just be you. There are millions and millions and millions, according to these prophecies, 1 billion people ready for you. In 1979, I was a youth pastor in St. Louis, Missouri. I was at a Presbyterian church, and the Lord called me to start praying at 6 o'clock in the morning. Guys, I was a musician. That's when I went to bed. I mean, we were drinking coffee at the Perkins at, you know, 4. And the Lord, when I became a youth pastor, all of a sudden the Lord said, I want you up at 6 o'clock doing a prayer meeting. I'm like, prayer at 6? How do I stay awake for that? And he said, I don't want you to invite anybody. Also, could I just stay here? I mean, you know, Church of the Inner Springs. And, you know, and it was like, no, I want you to go to the church. I want you to go in the fellowship hall, and I want you to start praying every Tuesday and Thursday mornings at 6 a.m. in the morning. So I said, all right, I'll go do it, you know. And I'd trudge down there at 6 o'clock in the morning, drag my ugly self in there, and start praying. And all of a sudden, I'd get a call from a friend, and they'd say, hey, you want to go to breakfast? No, I can't, man. I'm doing this thing. Oh, can I join you? Sure. I'm praying. And the Lord, during that time frame, gave me a very clear picture. Tag, you're it. He said, Byron, this is a groundswell. This is one-to-one, face-to-face. Every man, woman, and child who knows Jesus Christ has the opportunity to bring the gospel light to friends, neighbors, relatives, workmates, classmates, and that's where we are. Guys, here's the deal. This is not Campus Crusade. It's not Crew. It's not Dr. Kennedy from Florida. This is not a booklet that you share. It's a life. It's your life. Your life shared with the people around you. It's interesting that I'm speaking on this morning. Mike has a class on this. John has a class on this. You're going to hear about this until you are simply choking on it. Truly. Because we can't get away from it. Why? Some reason God has made his spokesmen to be able to come up here and say, guys, tag, you're it. And when you get it, when you figure that out, when you figure that it's not some kind of religious action, that it's your life that they want, You're going to look down and find the line gone and find yourself on the inside of the circle with a billion people, and you're going to be their answer. Because I believe you already are their answer. One man, one woman, a group of people will never be able to reach a billion people. This is our move of God. This is our move. Come here, be here, rejoice together, party together in the presence of God. Worship Him freely. But when you walk out that door today, not tomorrow, if you crossed the line this morning, you are now under a new assignment from heaven. That's not my assignment. This is a God assignment. John's speaking about it. Mike's speaking about it. You can go out there and find hundreds and hundreds of people, platforms today all around the world speaking about this. Why? Because this is a move of God, not of man. And we're already in it. All you have to do is go, wow. Really? Let the Spirit of God speak to you. Open your heart. Guys, can we stand together? Thank you for letting me have a little time with you guys. I'm really blessed by this church. I'm blessed by the people in it. John, can you come up? And Wes, if would you mind? Can you come up? Just a second, I'm going to pass off the mic to John. So, Father, I want those billion. I want them. I want our doors overflowing with people who have never even heard of you before, that live across the street, go to my workplace, go to my class, I meet at the coffee shop, I see him at the grocery store, at the gas station. I see him at the club. I see him at the fitness center. I see him at the swimming pool. My heart cries out for them. How do I connect? How do I connect? How do I connect? Lord, we ask you to start downloading into our spirit ways that we can connect with them one-to-one, face to face, heart to heart. Just being people. The cross will come. Lord, you will open the door for the message of your cross. You will do that. I want a billion. I'm inside the circle. Maybe something clicked in your heart or your mind today, and you go, I get it. I get it. I'm inside the circle. I just want to pray that you are released to touch the lives of those that He sends you to. And by send, I mean those moments you just connect with people. If you're not there, don't worry about this. Just relax. It's not your moment. No condemnation. But if you stepped across that line, if that line's gone, if in your heart or mind or your spirit, you know, wow, that's what's been going on. than by heaven's standard, through heaven's gate. Receive the assignment of heaven's calling for a billion people, meeting, encountering, and responding to Jesus Christ, our Lord, our love.
The Bible talks about walking in love. And when you think about that, wow, you know, some people love walking, some people love being in love, but walking in love, what does that mean? And see, if God is love, and He is, then that's Him and me walking, right? And Him expressing His life through me. And that's really what we're talking about. When people bump up against us and life brings us together, whether it's in the grocery store or the beauty salon or, you know, the drive-thru, you know, wherever it is, the opportunity to be that for someone. And does that mean every time you talk to somebody, they're going to call out and say, "What must I do to be saved?" Probably not. But you can walk with them and among them and just mirror what it is to be saved. Not necessarily how the first time, but what it is to be saved. You walk among people and have peace, people will know that. I'm not kidding. I've actually had people bump into me when I was angry and in a hurry and ask me, how do you have this peace? I'm not kidding. Because the Holy Spirit's peaceful in me, whether I'm cognizant of being peaceful in the moment or not. And that could be true of kind or loving or whatever. The thing is, I wasn't alert and alive to it the first time that happened. And I was deeply ashamed afterwards. I said, "Oh, Lord, I'm sorry." Well, it didn't affect any. He got to touch that person anyway. So it's that alive and alertness to, oh, I'm not just going to the store today. It's an opportunity for somebody to touch the King because He lives in me. It's really that simple. Now, do we ever get to pull the trigger? Do we ever get to tell the story? That doesn't really make any difference, because if He's setting up the appointments for you, then He'll cause to transpire from that appointment what is supposed to transpire. And the Bible says we're just to always to be available to give a testimony about the hope that's in us. That's what He says. And so, I don't know if I'm any good at that or not. Well, He's real good in you at it. Real good. He knows how to do this. He's in you. Part of the purpose He's in you is to be able to express that out through you. And that there's all sorts of ways that can happen. So what I'm hearing is, take on the passion, but push back the pressure. This isn't we're pressuring you to do something. This is the passion of the Lord. He desperately loves people. That's what He's like. And I think we said earlier, heaven and hell are real. People need to know. Even if they don't know they need to know. People need to know. So this expression of life through the Holy Spirit that lives in us, that's what we're talking about. Keith Green had an old song. He said, all my life I've been looking for this crazy missing part. And with one word, you just rolled away the stone that held my heart. He says, and then I found out it was just as easy as asking you in. And I'll just never doubt your love or your touch again. That's really what we're talking about, is the love of God breaking through. The reality of his compassion, His kindness, His peace, His wisdom. And we're just the containers, we're the vessels. And He can break through us anytime He's fit to. But we have to be in that place where we're available for that to take place. And So don't put pressure on you. Oh, my God, who am I going to witness to today? Lord, I'm walking with you today. Who are we walking into? What's going to happen today? Every time you go someplace, it may not result in that. But any time you go someplace, it can result in that. And just to recognize, anytime, Lord, I'm yours. Do what you would do. And that doesn't mean you have to be afraid and you can't ever bring Jesus up. It's just that if you're sharing the life you have, he's coming up. It'll happen whether you use his name or you just use his influence. You don't have to worry about that. He seems to take care of that rather well. So, Lord, here we are in the midst of a time where many of us have been praying about this billion soul ingathering, a billion people coming to a saving knowledge of Jesus. You're jealous over us to be a part. And today, Lord, we want to say we're jealous to be able to be a part. Would you do whatever's necessary with us? But we want to sign up. We volunteer today to accept the Holy Spirit in us, awakening us and quickening us to an understanding that as we live our life 24/7, 365, wherever we go, there's an opportunity for you to be you through us. And we really want to see that happen. So, Lord, would you cause this gift to come to us? I pray that we'll start baptizing people that say from the baptismal waters, I just want to thank Bill or Sarah or Mary or Joe because it's because of them I came to the Lord. And maybe it took a week and maybe it took 2 years, but it's because somebody was Jesus to me that I came to the Lord. Lord, we want to be jealous over testimonies like that because that's how this thing goes viral. And that's what we're looking to see happen. So, Lord, expand our tent pegs as a people and as each individual to reach to places where people who don't know you find you because they know us. We bless you today, Lord. We thank you for the goodness of God, the desire of your heart being accomplished through your people. And like Byron said yesterday, Lord, you're really a good father, and you're never satisfied in having enough kids. We invite you to expand the tent pegs here with each of us and with all of us. So we say yes to you today. Yes to you, Lord. Let your kingdom come and let your will be done right here in this little corner of the world that you've entrusted to us and our involvement in this little corner of the world that you're empowering. In Jesus' name, amen. Give the Lord a hand.